Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Looking at these verses, I want to look again at verse 20. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And that's what I want to preach about this morning, the veil of his flesh. When we read this here in Hebrews, the more we understand about the Old Testament priesthood, the better we can understand a lot of the things that's being said in the book of Hebrews. Paul is taking these Hebrew believers, these and readers, and he is showing them how all the things of the Old Testament have been fulfilled in Christ. How that, and he doesn't quit. Here in chapter number 10, he starts out in verse number 1. Just to go back to verse number 1, he said, for the law, he's talking about the whole of the law. The law that God gave unto Moses. Not just the Ten Commandments, but the whole of the law. And he said, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices, he's talking about the Old Testament sacrifices now, which they offered year by year. They had to offer them every year for their sin. He said, year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And from verse 1 down through about verse 14, shows us the one sacrifice, Christ, versus the many sacrifices that the Old Testament, they had brought in the Old Testament. And he said in verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Good things to come. Verse 9, or chapter 9, verse number 11, right back up, the previous chapter, in verse 11, he said, but Christ being come an high priest of good things to come. Good things to come. He's just talking about the same thing. And so in chapter 10, he said, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come. Christ has become a high priest of the good things to come. And Christ had now brought into the world, are you listening? By his body, by his self, by his sacrifice, by his sinlessness, amen? He has brought these good things into the world. Angels over there in the beginning when Christ was born, they hearkened out to those shepherds and talked about good goodwill toward men. Good things to come toward man. Amen? And these good things to come. And he said the law having a shadow of good things. Look at this now. The law, the Old Testament law that brought us to Christ. The law that tells us how to live. Tells us how to please God. Tells us how to love our neighbor. And what to do about sin. And the sacrifices we need to bring to God. And all these things. So many things that God, it was God's law to make a man. If a man would be perfect, he had to do all that was in the law. That was just it. Man couldn't do it. But what it was bringing man to Christ who was making him perfect. Are you listening? Who would fulfill the law? Amen? Their sacrifice that would never take away their sin. Listen to what he said. The law having a shadow of good things to come. That shadow is just a shadow, a shade. You remember when the apostle said in Hebrews, for now we look through a glass darkly. It's a shadow. Are you listening? It's a shade. Yeah, you see something, but you don't see the whole of it. And that the law that is that way. The law is like a shadow. If the law is like a shadow, then the gospel is the very image. Are you listening to me? Amen. And heaven, God in heaven is the reality of it all. Because the law tells us of like the tabernacle. Are you listening to me? And all the good things to come. Christ was the very image and brought those good things. Are you listening? They could be seen. And those were the picture of everything that he has in heaven. And so the law is the shadow. The gospel's the image. Heaven is the reality. The good things to come are seen, shaping. Amen? It's like the Old Testament is a sketch and the New Testament gospel is a statue. That's a big difference. Amen? That's a big difference in you sketch something down and then you actually make a statue. That's a big difference. And then even from that to heaven, you get to see the man, not just the statue. Are you listening to me? Not just the image of the good things. I mean, see, you and I can see those good things to come. We can see them sketched in the law. We understand, the more we learn about it, we understand it. And then when we see Christ, oh, how beautiful that we see it in him. We see all that he did, the power that he manifested, the God that he showed. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The revelation that Christ revealed. But listen, I've not seen him. We have the Holy Spirit within us and we feel him in, measure. I don't know if I've ever had him in a whole measure. Christ had him without measure. I don't know if I've ever experienced God in a whole measure. I've experienced him pretty powerfully. But listen, I think his body would die if we experienced God in a whole measure. But when we get to heaven, that full measure, are you listening? That will be revealed. And so it's part of what he's talking about right here. In verse 1, not the very image of the things. For the law having a shadow of good things, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices that they had, which they offered year by year continually, I mean year after year, never quit, never quit. They did it continually. Make the comers thereunto perfect, the people that was bringing them, coming to get something done about their sin. You see, that's what this whole thing's about, is getting something done about our sin. Because we're sinners. Amen? We're alienated from God. I'm talking before you're saved. Listen, the things, we heard testimonies this morning. Listen, a saved person, before they're saved, don't realize the darkness that they're in. They don't realize how lost they are or how bad their sin really is. Listen, you say, I've not done nothing extremely bad. Being born a sinner. Listen, sin itself, the essence of sin, the nature of sin that we have within this body is enough to send us to hell. Bad enough. Bad enough to send us away from God into a burning flame forever. Sin, listen, is awful. Don't ever think for one minute that the, you know, sin's okay and pretty and you know, nice and not really that bad. No, sin is awful. There's been many innocent sacrifice made to stand in the place or to put off the judgment of sin for one year or another, but never could take it away. An innocent life of an innocent lamb or an he-goat or a calf. Are you listening to me? I mean that was spotless. Brought their blood. Are you listening to me? It still was not enough. But look what he said in verse 2. Then would they not have ceased to be offered? I mean, if it had been made perfect, they could have stopped. They could have stopped the sacrifice. Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. You see, that's the second problem with sin. The conscience of sin. What they did, they could bring a sacrifice, an offering, and bring it year after year. But the conscience of sin, that they were still guilty of it, was still there. Never could they, the conscience of sin. Hey, are you listening to me? They can never, with those sacrifices, can never, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers perfect. There's no more conscience for sin is what we're looking for. No more consciousness of sin. But they had it. The guilt was still there. Are you listening to me? And so in verse 3, but in these sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. There's a remembrance again of these sins. A calling to mind of the sins yearly. In Numbers 5:15, the Bible speaks about an offering of jealousy. And it says in Numbers 5:15 that offering of jealousy is an offering of memorial because it brings iniquity to remembrance. You see, they could bring that offering, listen, but it was an offering of memorial because it brought it to your remembrance. Every year you bring the sacrifice, they were offerings of memorial, reminding you again of your guilt, of your sin, of the judgment that was upon you being placed upon another. That's what those sacrifices are. Something else dying for my sin. That message sound like something? Amen. Sure it is. It's the very message of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Christ dying for me. Christ dying for you. So, on and on. Verse 4, he said, For it is not possible. And that means impossible. That the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It's not possible that they could do that. No matter how much blood you bring, no matter how many bulls you sacrifice, are you listening? No matter how many goats, Solomon brought thousands at one time at the temple dedication. And it did not take his sin away. The richest man at the time. I mean, you talk about a man that had everything. And he brought the biggest offering I've ever read about in the whole of the Old Testament. I mean, it was that day. You talk about the priesthood working from morning till night. Slaughter after slaughter. I mean, fast. Blood going in. Are you listening to me? Being sprinkled in. I mean, animals being burnt on the altar. I mean, the whole nine yards. I mean, just loads and loads. Bringing an offering for the Lord. Never, not one sin did it take away. Not one. It's impossible. By those sacrifices, by any other thing. You say, I've got something that I've worked out between me and God's going to take care of my sin. Impossible. Impossible. I don't care what anybody may think they've snuggered up. Are you listening to me? Whatever they've conjured, it will not take away sin. Not one sin. It's impossible. That's why Jesus Christ had to come. It is impossible. And sin, again, is what the problem is. That's what we're dealing with in this chapter. That's what your problem and my problem is. We've got to do something about our sin. Verse number 5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So it's impossible for sin to be removed the way that they were doing it. Wherefore, when he cometh, because they could not, he came. That's what the wherefore means. Wherefore? Because it was impossible for them to do it that way. He came. Grab hold of that. That'll put a shout in you. I said, hey, because it's impossible with man, he came. Came into the world. He came. Amen. He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Sacrifice and offering. Sacrifice is the victim. Offering. Those were other, even bloodless offerings. Blood or bloodless. They could not. but a body that hast prepared me. A body. His body from head to toe. His body as a whole. Not just his hands. Listen, we talk a lot about his hands being nailed. Not just his feet. Talk a lot about his feet being nailed. Not just the spear in his side, we talk about that. Not just the crown of thorns. His body, the whole. Every part of him. Every part of him. There were some offerings that parts of the animal were unusable. They get the fat of the ram, you know. They get certain choice cuts. And the rest of it was just burnt. Burnt off. Made into ashes. It wasn't sacred. It wasn't given up to God. But Christ, his body, the whole body. There was no part of him that was not the sacrifice that would be made. A body. Thou hast prepared me. God prepared himself a body. Think about that. The God of heaven was made flesh. Flesh that could die. Sacrifice and offerings. Thou wouldest not. For sin, thou hadst no pleasure. For sin, thou hast had no pleasure in all of their sacrifice. Listen, God had no pleasure in it. Think about that. Of all that they did, God had no pleasure. No pleasure. To well pleased. He went from, I'm not pleased at all, to I am well pleased. In his son. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of a book. It is written of me. He is in the scroll, the word made flesh. To do thy will, O God. Which means he has a determination. Are you listening? He's inclined to do it. That was his will. A determination. An inclination to do. Would do. Not come short of it, but would do thy will, God's will, that must be done, that is impossible is now going to be made possible. Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings. I mean things that were wholly consumed. Burnt offerings. I mean so much fire, I mean it just consumed them and the smoke and the ash went up to the heaven. None of it was God well pleased. Neither hast thou pleasure therein, into verse 8, which are offered by the law. And it was by God's law. But still, it was not enough. Verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Talking about the first covenant, now to establish the second covenant. And I like this. We're fixing to get into something. Listen, when he said in verse number 20, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us. That word that he used consecrated for, it means inaugurated. Calvary was inauguration day for us. Sin taken away, finally. That's what inauguration day is. You know, making the declaration of a president. The world sees it and the nation knows. It's the inauguration. Amen. What Christ did at Calvary, that was your and my inauguration day. That sin had been taken care of. God had been well pleased. We had been made right in Christ if we come to Him. Amen. If we forsake our others, the Bible said in verse number 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The body of Jesus Christ once for all. That once, that's a certain time. Once, when? Calvary, that's when. And every priest standeth daily. Look at verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, that's himself. One sacrifice. Same word sacrifice, victim. Which meant one on behalf of another. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Verse 17, here it is. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Amen. The iniquities is the violation of the law. The violation of God's law. Listen, hear the statement, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's a statement of sins put into oblivion. In the Old Testament, one after another, we see this being said in Isaiah 44 and 22. He said that he had blotted out our sins as a thick cloud. In Isaiah 38, 17, he said, thou cast all my sins behind thy back. He's making this same statement. Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Amen. Jeremiah 50 and 20. In that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, even their sins. God said people will look for it and won't be able to find it. God's mentioning these. In Psalm 103, I believe, he said, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgression. As far as the east is from the west. Now the east, I think it's that way. You start heading that way now, and you keep going. You tell me when you find the start of east.
In the west, you go that way, and you keep it going. When you come to the starting line of the west, you let me know. And you'll never find it. Because it goes beyond the scope of our earth. It stretches out and it goes and it goes and it goes. And as far as the east is from the west, God said He's removed our sins from us. By Christ's offering. I'm about done. Verse 19, I wanted to get to this. Having therefore brethren, talking to the brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. He's talking about confidence and assurance. Boldness, that confidence. To enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Look at verse 20. By a new and living way. Well, what was the old way? Well, it was an old and dead way. The Old Testament sacrifices, the bodies of many animals, one on another, dead. Did not, but by a new and living way. I looked up that word new. It means a recently made slaughter. Recently made slaughter. What do you think he's in all of this? He's talking about Christ that came in a body to give Himself a sacrifice, an offering. Brother Brandon was teaching this morning about how they slaughtered Him. How His body was mired. More than any man. That He didn't even appear as a man. The flesh that they, not a bone was broken. What a miracle. And that was to fulfill Scripture. But His flesh was probably hanging off of Him like ripped shreds. His eyes no doubt swollen from the punches and the slaps. His beard pulled completely out in spots. You do that, the flesh is going to come with it. You girls ever have somebody grab a handful of your hair and yank. There's bleeding that takes place with that. He was slaughtered. But the Bible says, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated, He inaugurated, He made that day an inauguration day for us. For us. Through the veil. That is to say, His flesh. Last thing. The Bible said when Jesus bowed His head, gave up the ghost, that the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now that veil in the temple is a picture of His body. And if that veil, God rent it in half, as a picture of what God did to His Son on Calvary. God rent His flesh and He gave up the ghost. The judgment of God's own Son that you and I could have our sins taken away. That's how great a price Jesus paid. That's what had to be paid for your sin and my sin. The only thing left is to come before Him, a broken sinner, and bless Him and ask Him for His forgiveness. That in His sacrifice, you could be saved. And that your sin could be gone, forgiven you, washed from you, and you'd be made new. I want you to stand this morning.